In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's a very simple command. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Yet it's a confusing command. Fish don't live in the deep, and the middle of the day is the wrong time to fish. Peter and his companions had worked hard all night and had come away with nothing. They had cleaned their nets, a tedious task to be sure, and were ready to put them away for the day, and now they must go back out. And in his mind, it looks pointless. It looks pointless to pull the weeds when they will come back, to discipline the kids when they will misbehave again, to prepare a meal only to have to clean up and prepare yet another, to sweep the floor only to have to do it again and again, or to go to work from 9 to 5 with little to no change. The tasks that we carry out from day to day look pointless. We want work that's fulfilling, something that makes us feel good, or we can look back and say, this is what we accomplished. And the idea of doing the same thing day after day with minimal results can leave us bored, frustrated, annoyed, and drained. It's pointless. So we mow with headphones in, and we wait with the TV blaring, and we sweep while listening to podcasts, and prepare dinner while doing the same, and do our homework or work with music on so we have some entertainment, some joy, something to break the monotony of the work. I wonder if Peter put his headphones in as he cruised out to the deep. So why do we? Perhaps we have missed the point of work. We work simply because Christ told us to. We are too focused on the results and on the payoff. It makes me feel good. It pays the bills. It allows me to do things in life. I receive appreciation or the applause of the crowd. Perhaps we should simply focus on the work itself, on the word of Christ, which gives us that work to carry out. Do not fall into the trap of working to get something, but simply work because Christ commanded it. Christ knows that you need money. He knows that you need a place for your family to live. He knows you even need appreciation and fulfillment. And maybe you might even need retirement. And he will provide those things in the way that he knows is best at the time and the place when he knows it is best. So your work to you may look completely pointless, as if you're simply spinning your wheels like fishing in the middle of the day in the deep. But it's the work that Christ has given you to do. And he promises to bless it in the way that he knows is best. Elijah tried to quit. He ran away to the mountain of God, Mount Horeb, away from Israel. He tried to quit. God said, "What are you doing here?" And then simply sent him back. There still was work to be done. So as long as you are breathing air, as long as you are on this earth, there still is work that God has for you to carry out. Remember that his word never returns to him empty. Yes, that word of the gospel creates and sustains faith. But also the word of his law instructs you in what good works are. God is the one who prepares these good works for you in advance. He is the one who gave you your skills and talents, as minimal as they may be. He gave you your family and friends, as few as they may be. He gave you the government and your pastor, as many shortfalls as they may have. But he gave you these things so that you would have something to busy your day with. So busy yourself with the things that God has given to you, confident that you are carrying out the very work of God. So do it again. Sweep the floors again, prepare the meal again, converse with your spouse again, push the papers again. discipline the kids yet again, sweep the floor yet again, pull the weeds yet again, simply because this is your good work before God. And perhaps even harder, sit in your wheelchair yet again. Let the nurse care for you yet again. How can any of this be pointless when it's the work that Christ has given? Outside of faith in Christ, dare I say, it is the greatest gift God has given, work. Do you really think that Peter putzed out to the deep, lazily lifted up the net, and slumped it over the side? So why would we go about our daily tasks with the same attitude? Thanks be to God, the net needs to be cast yet again. Thanks be to God, there are weeds to pull and children to feed and spouses to converse with and friends to talk with and work to be done, whether you get paid for it or not. Thanks be to God for your daily tasks. And so you do them to the best of your abilities and skills. Christians never strive for the bare minimum, simply to meet the quota. Because you recognize the work that you are doing is God's work. It is a holy and divine, godly work, sanctified by the word of Christ. And there is nothing greater in that moment for you to be doing. Christians strive for excellence. Not in the result, but in the work itself. Because God simply said, put out to the deep. They use their abilities and their intellect, their problem-solving skills, and seek to improve in their work simply because Christ said, let down your nets for a catch. You see the dignity of work when it is given by God for you to carry out in your day-to-day life. Maybe you'll reach the shore empty. Maybe your boat will be filled and you'll be sinking. Either way, do not think for a second that anything you have ever done in your life at the command of Christ is pointless. The work itself is the goal, not the result. When Peter caught nothing, what filled his boat? Who filled his boat? So when you've toiled and come up empty, when you've done your best and have nothing to show for it, when you're stuck in a rut and you fail to reach your goals, it can shake you to the very core of who you are and why you are even here on this earth in the first place. Is it really my purpose to achieve so little in life? To be unable to provide for my family in the way that I want, to feel unfulfilled? Yeah, maybe. But who fills your empty life? Peter's boat was empty so that Christ might fill it with himself. Your work may have little to no results that you can see, so that you might see who is standing in that boat with you. That your heart and your life and your very existence might be filled with Christ. And therein lies the great teaching of this account. Yes, God teaches us ever so subtly about the dignity of work, but there is far more than that. It's a greater miracle than a miraculous catch of fish. It's a miracle that he does for you. Fish don't jump into the boat. Sinners don't seek out Christ. Sinners do not choose Christ. Christ sends out his apostles. Christ sends out his ministers to work at his command to cast the net of the gospel. And you were dragged out of the depths of a chaotic, sinful life and into the boat with Christ. You live in his presence. What was once yours is now his. What once belonged to you now belongs to him. Your life, your work, your existence are all his. For he is the one who has saved you and redeemed you from your empty way of life. God filled Peter's empty boat with himself, and God fills your life with himself. You are this miraculous catch. So to be a Christian is to live in the presence of God, not simply the omnipresence of God by which he is everywhere, but to live in the gracious presence of God, where he says this to you, do not be afraid. And when you hear those words, you can only think of one thing, I forgive you. The Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world, so you have no fear of standing in the very presence of God as Moses did at the burning bush or as Israel did at Mount Sinai. You have no fear because Christ has borne your sin, taken away your guilt. So you are able to stand before him now and at the last day with joy and peace. You have a gracious and merciful God who sends men out to work so that you might be a Christian. There is no reason that you should be a Christian. There is no reason that you should be sitting here this morning. Maybe your past was filled with troubles and difficulties and bad things, or maybe your life was going great. Here you now sit. Within the boat of the Holy Church, in the very presence of the incarnate God, here you now sit to receive his goodness and mercy, forgiveness and love. Like Peter, you have been too focused on results, the result of money or retirement, or feeling fulfilled or receiving appreciation. Like Peter, you also have complained about the tedious tasks and repetitive chores that you must do day after day. Yet you are in the presence of Christ nonetheless this day. He hasn't tossed you back out into the world. He hasn't gotten rid of you and replaced you with someone more thankful. He forgives you. On the other side, your life may be falling apart. You may be sinking into the very depths of this world with sorrow and trouble and difficulties and hardships, more than you could maybe even number, but who is in that boat with you? And is he enough for you? Do you really think he will let you sink down into the troubles of this world without making it safely to the shores of heaven? He is the one who bore your sin. Would he really abandon you right now? Do not be afraid. Every single work that you carry out is done in his presence. Your life is wrapped up in his life. Do not be afraid. The word caught Peter, and the word has also caught you. As you sail to the shores of heaven, there is still work to be done. Sometimes repetitive work, sometimes boring, sometimes pointless, sometimes meaningful, appreciated, and fulfilling. But busy yourself with that daily work and leave the results to God. He knows exactly what you need. So whether full or empty, whether sinking or floating, he is with you always, so that you might reach those shores of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.